Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. When I received through the email the assignment here for this Wednesday Holy Communion service and noticed that in bold print was the Matthew 13, 44 to 52 text, I looked into it and I saw the first two parables without any explanation. Then I saw the third one about the net, the dragnet, with an explanation. So I thought, okay, Weiss, let's get into this text. And it took me right to the teacher, Jesus, and certainly the whole context of Matthew 13. And so when you look at this whole business of Matthew 13 and what came before and what comes after, these parables kind of remind me of repetition is the mother of learning. As the crowds that he initially addressed, they didn't have any Kodak moments about what he was saying. Yet the Lord told his disciples, and he told them once he had to explain why he's telling the parables right away in Matthew 13, where he quotes from Isaiah 6, telling his disciples that the crowd will indeed hear, but they will not understand, for these people's heart, this heart of theirs, has grown fat, as Dr. Gibbs translates, very unfeeling. Their eyes are closed. They really can't see the forest for the trees. And then later on, the disciples ask him, why are you doing this? And he explains to them again, quoting Psalm 78, verse 2, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter what has been hidden since the foundation of the world. So after his initial parables of the sower, the weeds, the mustard seed, and then explaining the parable of the weeds in 11 to the beach crowd, he goes into a house with his disciples. And he's not finished, not at all. And there he launches again into more parables. And these parables, I believe, have a very nice progression. And they focus on the incarnation, about he who emptied himself of everything to come and serve and not to be served, instructing us to proclaim the message of the resurrected Jesus Christ, who makes all things new on that last great day. And so as the storms are starting to gather around the ministry of Jesus and his disciples, the next group of parables really do bring us sure and certain hope that he is the disciple's Savior, and that he has declared them to be his own by his grace. And so Jesus lays out these parabolic studies, these stories of the hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, and the net. And so these first two parables, the hidden treasure and the pearl of great price, as I recall Dr. Gibbs mentioning, these are about exchange and purpose. The disciples, yes, they are this treasure and the pearl. We are his treasure and we are his pearl. These parables, they really show the extremes to which God went, leaving his heavenly kingdom, incarnation, suffering, taking on the burden of all human sin, and then rose for the forgiveness of sins. This is the purchase price, paid in full, complete. These two parables, they really are clear, and they give me and you a faith hope that Paul writes about in Romans 5 that does not disappoint. And this is carried over into the parable of the net, or sometimes called the dragnet. And here in this parable, even too, certainly brings peace and comfort to all Christians, because we know that there will be God's final judgment at the close of the age, in Christ now and with Christ eternally. And as baptized into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we really are, as Matthew writes, a contemporary scribe disciples mentioned in verse 52, who carry on the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples of all persons, baptizing and teaching. So even though the disciples, we know a little bit later in chapter 14, when the Lord is talking about what defiles a person, they still don't get the picture completely. They say, well, tell us, explain this parable to us. Yet they, like we, have been gifted with the full armor of God, his grace and his faith that holds to the words and promises of Jesus Christ. You know, in a world with increased persecution in Iraq, wherein ISIS has declared Iraq Christians who are living in Mosul, which is the capital of the Nineveh province, you either turn to Islam, pay the taxes on demand, or die. 1,500 have died. Many are fleeing. Churches have been ransacked. There are many social, political, economic, and theological issues that are always right in front of our eyes and in our lives. And they are ongoing, and they do, as the text said, caused me and many other Christians to be somewhat disheartened and discouraged. Yes, we are all in a weary, weary world. My 94-year-old mother, who still plays the organ at a church that I am serving as an interim pastor, yesterday morning we were in the car driving to Walmart so she could pick up a few things. And she started to ask questions about all of this political stuff that's going on and the wars over in Iraq and Syria and what's happening between Israel and Hamas. And she studies this stuff and she looks at this. She reads the papers and sees it on TV and she says to me, and I know when she's being a little emphatic and wants an answer, Robert, why doesn't the Lord just come down and end this whole mess right now? He can do that. And then she said, now give me an answer I can understand. I didn't want to use the word eschatological vindication. That would have carried on a longer discussion. But I said, you know, you've heard me talk about these parables, and we were discussing them because she always wants to know what I'm doing and what's happening here at the seminary. And I said, you know, these parables are quite clear, the parables that came before and the parables that we're talking about right now. The Lord's angels, they will come down, and they will separate we righteous in Christ from those bullheaded, thick-headed unbelievers. On the last great day, he will come to judge the living and the dead. Now, you'd have to know my mom, in somewhat of her postmodern state, she said, whatever. I said, it's going to happen. Why doesn't he come now? He will come when he comes, and we will know it. Well, thanks be to God for these parables that reaffirm our absolute sanctuary in Christ Jesus. It's worth rephrasing and hearing what Dr. Gibbs says when he writes this. In spite of the uncertainties at the present time, the day of reckoning and putting all things right will come, as the weeds and the dragnet tell us. For those who trust and follow Jesus in discipleship, there is the promise of security in Jesus, who has come into Israel and the world like a man who is willing to sell everything he has in order to acquire his treasure possession, as told in the parables of the treasure and the pearl. These parables, when you take a look at them and you study them, and you see that they're not distant, but they are here today in Christ. These parables are told clearly by the teacher, Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.